It's in mornings like this that I realize that God has a sense of humor. I wanted to preach this message. I felt God leading me to preach this message, but I didn't want many visitors here. And we have visitors here. And the second thing is, Jamie basically preached my message for me. In just a couple of words and in a couple of sentences, he preached my whole message. And so we could actually wrap up right now and go home, and I would feel like everything's been said that needs to be said, except a couple of applications maybe. But it's interesting to see how God moves and works in mornings like this and in situations like this. And I want to talk some on the subject of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I didn't want many visitors here is you don't know the journey that we're on as a congregation, and you don't know where our heartbeat is. And so when we talk about something like the subject of the Holy Spirit, it's something that's out there and we can get a little bit uncomfortable with, and we can misunderstand, and we can do a lot of things with it. And so I want to say to you that are visiting, just hang in there with us a little bit this morning. We're not going off the deep end. But it's something that God has been stirring in my heart. And for you that have been a part of this congregation, you know that probably about 3 years ago, I mentioned to you that I'm on a journey of finding out more about the Holy Spirit. Because I believe with all my heart, it's a subject that is conservative. I'm speaking to us in the congregation here now that are conservative Anabaptists. It's a subject that we've been afraid of. And it's a subject that we're not very comfortable with. And let me say this, we'd better get comfortable with it. Because I've also been talking about the fact that it feels like we're ramping up to some end time stuff. And if we're going to make it in the end times, if we're going to make it through the pressure that I've been feeling in my own heart, if we're going to make it through that ramping up of the pressure that we're feeling in our lives, we better get comfortable with the Holy Spirit. We better get comfortable. We don't have to get weird. And I want to explain a little bit more about that later on. But we better get comfortable with the subject of the Holy Spirit, because I believe with all my heart it's something we need to get a hold of. And it's something that we need to allow, open our lives up to in greater ways than we have as conservative people have done in the past. I believe that with all my heart. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I could talk for months if I want to get into the theological stuff of it. I'm going to stay away from some of the theological stuff of it. I just want to share with you a little bit what God's been doing in my own heart over the last 3 years of it, as I've been just sort of sitting around allowing myself to push out in the subject of the Holy Spirit. And what I believe God has been saying to me. I'm going to preach my sermon backwards again. I want to make a couple of applications before I ever get started saying that. We're in the process of bringing on a deacon. And I've talked about this before. For us as a congregation that are part of this body, so often a process like that, we are not in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're more in tune with the people that we want to see in place and the giftings maybe that a person has that we think would function well in a certain role. And I want to call us as a congregation to go way beyond that and to get in tune with God. And because God has a person or people, we don't know that yet, that He wants to put in place in this congregation, and it's our job to spend time with Him and to know what He is saying to us as a congregation. It's not about us and who we think should be in there. It's about who God wants to put in position in this congregation. And our job is to find out what that is. And so I'm saying that to call us to prayer in the next weeks, maybe more than we ever have been. The last time I preached, I talked about being in the presence of the Lord. And we invited some of us to do that. How do we know what God wants without being in His presence? How do we know what He's saying to us as a body of believers if we're not spending time just sitting in His presence, hearing from Him? It's not about us just saying, God, handpick the person that you want, and we go on with our lives. Somehow we have to hear from Him to know what He's saying to us as a body of believers. And I'm saying that to say, Wednesday night, our prayer meeting, we're going to be spending a lot of time praying about that. And if you want to come out and be a part of that, I'd encourage you to do that. But that's sort of some of the application that I'm wanted to bring at the end, but I'm bringing it at the beginning. We have to hear from God, because God the Father, actually what the Holy Spirit, and I'm getting into my message a little bit that I'll come back to, but really what the Holy Spirit is about is showing us what the Father wants to do. That's really what the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit is all about. For those of you that remember, this is getting into my message a little more, Norman preached a message, I'm not sure where Norman is. Norman, was that about a year and a half ago? On the Holy Spirit? Something like that. He made a statement in there that I haven't forgotten in that message. And if you've forgotten that message or you want to hear it, I encourage you to go back on our website and pull that one up, because he talked some really good stuff about the Holy Spirit in that message. And one of the things he said is that most of us have received enough of the Holy Spirit. I'm summing up here, Norman, and if I misquote you or misrepresent you, you straighten me out, okay? But from what I remember, he said most of us have received enough of the Holy Spirit that we've become saved. But it goes way beyond that. And I think you sort of left it right there. And that is so true. Most of us have enough of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we would say that we're saved. And many of us stop right there. Because if you're like I am, I grew up sort of afraid of the whole subject of the Holy Spirit, because I've been taught things like that tongues are wrong. Speaking in tongues, or it's wrong. I was taught that growing up. But I couldn't balance that with the fact that I see whole passages of Scripture dealing with the subject of tongues and how we're to deal with them even in our church settings. So how do I balance that if I'm being taught that that's wrong, and yet in the Scripture I'm finding whole passages of Scripture that deal specifically with how we're to handle the Spirit and the work of the Spirit in our midst and what we're to do with that? And so we become pretty uncomfortable with the whole subject because we don't know where to go with it. We don't know what to do with it, because on one hand it's wrong, on the other hand we find passages of Scripture that... And Jesus actually speaks plainly right to it. And so what do we do with that as a body of believers? What do we do with that as Christians? What do we do with that when we feel the Holy Spirit nudging us and we say, oh man, I don't know if I can do this because of, and we go back because of what I've been taught, because of my uncomfortableness with the subject, because of whatever that reason is. And yet, somehow, we need to understand what the Holy Spirit is all about and what He's doing. And so turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. I want to spend just a few minutes here sharing a little bit on the subject of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, I was going to read the whole passage. I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses to start out with, sort of as an introduction here. Verse 7 says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is Jesus talking, and he's talking to his disciples about leaving them. He's going to be leaving them. "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And really what Jesus is saying is, you want me to stay here in the midst. And I've found myself saying the same thing. I wish I could have been back there when Jesus was walking the face of the earth. And I wish I could have spent time with him. I wish I could have hung out with him. I wish I could have walked with him. I wish I could have heard his teaching. I would love to go up to him and ask him things about life. and find out what he really thinks. And Jesus is telling his disciples, and I could unpack the verses around that, but you're sad that I'm going away. You're sad that I'm leaving. You're sad that I'm departing. But let me tell you something. It's needful for me to do that. It's better off for you that I go away from your presence and I'm no longer in your presence, because I'm going to send someone called the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And it's more beneficial to have him than it is to have me. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement. That's a pretty powerful statement that Jesus is saying. But he's saying it's to your benefit that I go away. It's to our benefit here today that Jesus is not in our midst, because we have something as powerful, more powerful, because he can be all in all of our presences at all the time and speaking and actually living in our hearts. And I want to talk about that a little more later on. Jumping down to verse 13, it says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come." And really, the Holy Spirit is not some thing out there like I've had in my past growing up. I sort of have this notion that it's this thing out there that we need to be cautious of, because he's sort of out there doing wild things. I'm being very honest with some of my thought processes there. But he's sort of out there doing wild things. But really, the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything on his own. He only does and speaks exactly what he hears. He only does and speaks exactly what he hears from the Father. He's not out there doing wild things. He's speaking and he's moving exactly how God the Father wants him to speak and to move in our hearts. Just a couple things to tuck away on the Holy Spirit. Jumping back to John chapter 14, verse 15. These are some powerful things if you want to get a hold of the Holy Spirit and what's going on. Jesus is saying in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Let me put it this way. The Spirit is moving in the world. The Spirit is moving here right now. There's people that are in tune with what the Spirit is doing, and they see the Father, they see the work of the Spirit, they see what's going on. The world isn't in tune with what the Spirit is doing. Let me put it this way. Right now, there are radio waves going right through here, and probably cell phone waves. We don't see it. We don't know that it's happening. But the truth is, it's happening, and all we have to do is set a radio in here that gets in tune with those waves, and we'll hear the radio. We'll hear what's passing through here, through the air. And Jesus is really drawing that parallel to what he says is going on in the spiritual world around us. The Spirit is moving and working, and the world doesn't have any idea what's going on with that, because they're not in tune with it. They can't see it. They can't pick up the waves that are going through, that what the Spirit is doing, how he's moving, what he's doing. They're not in tune with that at all. And that's what I'm saying. We need to become to the point where we're in tune with what's going on. "For he dwells," this is jumping into verse 17 again, "for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Jumping down to verse 23, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him.'" I want you to catch one thing there. I believe there's a direct correlation between the work of the Spirit in our life and our obedience to God the Father and the Word of God the Father. He says, if you're in tune with me, if you love me, you're going to obey what I say to you. You're going to follow my scripture. You're going to follow my word. And when that happens, I will pray to the Father and we will come to you and abide with you and be with you. That's a powerful statement. Many of us want the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but we don't want to be obedient to Him and what He's saying and what He has laid out in His Word. We want the anointing of the Spirit to flow in our lives. We want the power of the Spirit to move and work. We want to be used of God, but in reality, we're not obedient to Him. If we want the Spirit to move and flow and work in our lives, if we want to be in tune with the Spirit, the first prerequisite that we have is that we're obedient to Him, that we have hearts that are obedient to following exactly what He says to us, starting first of all with His Word, but then going way beyond that. We need to be obedient and follow Him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And there again He says, this is Jesus talking. The words that you're hearing from me is not me. It's the Father. And so we get this picture that God the Father is up there and Jesus is doing what the Father is saying, and He's speaking what the Father is saying, and the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing. And so it all wraps around the Father. And let me tell you something that's been a breakthrough for me. I've studied this theologically through the years, and I've been in theology classes, but this hasn't really got a hold of me till just recently. It hasn't gone from my head to my heart. Let me put this. Every one of you knows this, that when we become a Christian, God the Father is inside of us. Do you know how powerful that is? If we ever allow that to go from our head to our hearts, it will revolutionize our lives. Because God's not up there. He is, but He's not. He's right here, Gerald, right inside of you. All that God ever was and ever will be, and all the power that He has is available because He's inside of you. You know how powerful that is? God is right here. He's right here. His kingdom is set up right here in my heart. He's not someone up there that I have to somehow, come into His presence. I love when I pray thinking of coming into the throne room of God and coming into His presence. That's great. I'm okay with that. But the truth is, it's not up there. It's right here. It's right here. God the Father, all of God the Father, not just part, all of God the Father is right here in my heart through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to become comfortable with the subject of the Holy Spirit, because it's right here. It's right here in my heart. That is revolutionary, because it's not something that's out there. It's the fact that God, as ruler, King of the universe, is making presence in our heart. So what are some of the things that we need to be on the lookout as we think about the Holy Spirit? One is this, Luke 10:20. I think this is right after the passage of Scripture that Jamie quoted this morning. You quoted out of John, is that right? I think this is, what's that? Matthew. I think this is correlated with that. He says this, in Luke 10:20, Jesus is saying, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Rather rejoice that your names are written in the book of life." And let me say this about that. And Jamie spoke right into that this morning when he said, we're not to be excited about the fact, let me put it in these words, don't get excited about the experience that you have of God living in your heart and the experience that we have with the power of the Holy Spirit living in our heart. We can get sidetracked on experience. And Jesus is saying, don't Don't rejoice. Don't get excited about the fact that demons are subject to you and that they come out and all those kind of things happen. Don't get excited about that. Because the reality is, what we're excited about is the fact that God is living in our hearts. And that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And throughout history, we have reacted. I'm going to be honest, I don't like to talk about other groups and those kind of things, but we have reacted to the charismatic movement because there may have been some sort of, I don't know how to say this in good words, someone else should probably say this, but we get scared at the emphasis that they put on experience, let me put it that way, and we get scared of that, and there's some validity in that. We are not about getting excited about the fact that the Holy Spirit is moving and people are being raised from the dead and demons are being cast out and all those kind of things. That's not what we're excited about. What we're excited about is that God is living and ruling and reigning in my heart, and I'm not satisfied with the little bit that I've had. I want more and more and more of that. And that's where our focus is. Our focus is not on the Holy Spirit. I think we get sidetracked when we get focused on the Holy Spirit and the things that flow out of the Holy Spirit, the experiences that we have, all those kind of things. We get excited about that. When we get focused on that, we've lost it. Because the reality, everything that the Holy Spirit is doing is pointing back to the Father. And that's where our focus needs to stay. We can't get off of that. We can't get sidetracked in the experiences that we have. Many of you, when I invited a number of weeks ago, when we sat here in the presence of the Lord for a period of time, some of you talked about what happened. And you've talked to me about the experience that you had there. That's great, and I'm excited about that. But that's not our focus. We don't come here for the experience that we feel. We come here to be in the presence of the Lord and to allow Him to have more and more and more of our heart. That's what it's all about. The other stuff will flow out of that. But that's our focus. That has to remain our focus. If it goes any other way, we will get sidetracked and we will get off base. I believe that with all my heart. If we focus on the Spirit and the works of the Spirit, eventually that will lead us off base. If we focus on the Father, it will never lead us off base. I believe that with all our heart because we're focused on the Father. We're allowing the Father to pour into our lives and to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. But our focus is on the Father, not on experience. Secondly, Ephesians 4:30 says this, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." These next two have spoken drastically to my heart. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. What is grieving the Holy Spirit? Let me put it this way. I'm summing up other scriptures when I say this. As a father, any of us as parents can identify with this. If we go somewhere and our children, let's just say I'm going into town and I see we go two separate places and I see my children there and my children don't want to have anything to do with me in the presence of their friends. Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I'm summing up some things. That's grieving the heart of the Father. I'm going to be grieved by that. I'm going to be grieved when my children go against what I've taught and what I believe is scriptural. My parents are in that journey right now, and many of us here are familiar with that journey. The truth is that grieves us as parents. The same thing is true with God the Father. God the Father is grieved when we don't walk with Him. He says when we deny Him before people, when we're ashamed of Him, We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do things that are contrary to His nature and to His character. Many of us want the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives. I talked about obedience. And we want to do things that we know are contrary to Him. When I was young, I listened to music I shouldn't have listened to. And I wanted God to move and work in my life. And I wanted to be a Christian, but I'm doing something that's contrary to what I know He wants of our lives and what He wants of me. And yet we say, one of the things I hear people say, this is a little bit of a bunny trail, but I hear people say, what's wrong with it? That is totally the wrong question. The question is, what's right with it? Because we can rationalize many things away and say, well, there's nothing really wrong with this. The lyrics aren't that bad. The music isn't that bad. That's music. We can go through a list of all kinds of things that we can rationalize and say, oh, there's nothing really that wrong with it. That is totally the wrong question. Because the real question is, what's right with it and what is the heart of the Father? If we ask what is the heart of the Father in any particular subject, just picture God the Father doing what you're doing, and it'll tell you whether it's right or wrong, unless your conscience is totally skewed in some way, which that is a possibility. But picture the Father doing what you're doing and applying that to His life and to His character and who He is as a person, and it'll tell you what's right and what's wrong. But focus on the Father. And He's saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't have things in your lives that are contrary to the character of God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, don't quench the Spirit. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but that gets me right here. Let me tell you a little story that happened on our trip to Florida. I was on the way home. This is something that you can say is so small, but this is quenching the Spirit. We were on our way home, and I was in all the way in this lane over here, and we were moving. And up ahead, I saw a car that was pulled off beside the road that I know was broke down. It wasn't that they were just making a phone call or a potty break or something like that. He was broke down. I felt the Spirit nudge my heart to get over and help them. And I kept right on going. That's quenching the Spirit. When the Spirit nudges us, I had all these things. Yeah, I'm going too fast. I'll be a traffic hazard to get over. I can rationalize. I can do all kinds of things in doing that. But the truth is, I quenched the Spirit in that moment. And I actually did. God brought it to my mind when I was studying this. And I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for quenching your Spirit. Because if I want God to move and work in my life, if I say I want to be in tune with Him, if I want all of Him, then I have to be obedient when He nudges my heart. When He nudges me to pick up the phone and call someone. Whatever it is, as He nudges my heart, the Scripture says, don't quench that. Don't quench the Spirit moving and working in your heart. If He's nudging you to come up front as a service, at the end of a service, don't quench the Spirit. The more we're obedient to Him, the more we open ourselves up to Him, the more He will continue to move and flow and work in our lives. And if you as young people, don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit, not just you, but all of us. Because we all have a tendency to do this. We all do it at times. We grieve the Spirit. We quench the Spirit. The last point I want to make as we're thinking about the Spirit is this. 1 John 4:1. We know this verse pretty well. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I've worked in the charismatic world. I don't like to use that term. Let me rephrase that. I've worked with people that have been involved in the whole spiritual thing that I really believe that every thought that they thought was of God. Can you follow me through that? That was just a little bit whatever. But I really do believe that every thought that they thought was of God. And some of the stuff was so bizarre, it was outstanding. It was just bizarre. And yet they believed with all their heart that it was God. It would have only taken me about 5 minutes to go to Scripture and to say that that's not of God. About 5 minutes, that's about all it would have taken. But they believed with all their hearts that it was of God. And the Scripture clearly says, not only here but other places, we have to try the spirits. When a thought goes through our mind, when something comes into our heart, it's just not as easy as saying, oh, God spoke to me, God told me to do this, and so I'm doing it. Oh, man, we can get in trouble with that. I actually cringe when I hear people say that. Because unless I know they've spent an incredible amount of time in the presence of God coming before Him, we blame a lot of things on God that I don't believe are of God. Because it's out of who He is as a character. It's not in tune with that. In that, I want to say this. Let me say this on the other side of that. We've put God in way too little of a box as people. Our box is way too small for Him. He's much bigger than the boxes that we've created for Him. But we also know who He is as a person. We know His character. We know who God the Father is. It's very obvious to us. Well, we can go to His Word and find out who that is, what that is, and who He is. And as we spend time with Him, we need to try the spirits, because not everything that's out there is of the Spirit of God. We know that. If you read into Revelation, it talks about how evil spirits will come out and do incredible miracles and will draw people to them, because of the signs and wonders and the miracles that they're doing, and it's not of God. It is not of God. So we need to try the spirits. We need to test them. We need to stay in the presence of God. Loyal, would you come up here? I was praying here this morning, and I thought of this example as I was... And I don't have a table high enough, so I asked Loyal to just come help me out here. This is sort of an example. If this is our lives, actually, why don't you stand? This is a picture of the Holy Spirit. If I begin to pour in here, I'm not sure that this is going to work totally because I couldn't find a bowl big enough. But if this is the Holy Spirit and God the Father pouring into our lives, and this is our lives when we become a Christian that are totally black with sin and filth and dirt and all those kind of things, and God begins to pour in our life and we become saved, whatever point that is, I'm not going to say what that is. But when are we going to stop and say that, oh my word, our lives are good? Because it's like, look how it was before. It used to be totally black. Now it's not black anymore. There's just some things in there. There's just some things that are hanging around. And actually, they're not that bad because it's a lot better than it was. My question is this. When are you going to be satisfied? Are you going to be satisfied right there? And say, okay, I've had all of God that I need in my life. I don't need any more. I'm good. The Spirit is moving and He's flowing. I just got some little pieces of garbage hanging in there. So when are you going to be satisfied? How about there? I don't have quite enough water, I don't think, here to make it. But actually, if I pour long enough, that will become absolutely clean, pure water with no trace of it. The question is, are we satisfied there? I'm going to make it hard for you to carry this back. Is that okay? That's pretty much clear right there. The question is, are we satisfied there? The truth is, I hope we're never, ever, ever satisfied. No matter how clean and pure our lives are. Because the truth is, I want this thing to stay like this. And God has promised that it'll be a never-ending stream in our lives. And that's what I want. I want it to continue to flow. I don't care if this is almost 100% pure and clean. I want to continue to hang out in the presence of the Lord. And you can go back, thanks. And allow Him to continue to pour into my life. Because that's what it's all about. If I ever stop that stream flowing, if I ever stop sitting in the presence of the Lord, if I ever stop the Holy Spirit moving and working in my life, that water will start getting dirty again. That's just how life is. And so I want the stream to continue to flow. I want to constantly be in the presence of the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's about us hanging out and sitting in the presence of the Lord. That's where it is. It's not about experience. It's not about emotion. It's not about anything like that. It's about us hanging out with God the Father. Pardon my expression. Those aren't theological terms. But it's about us hanging out in the presence of the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to move and work in our lives. Alicia, I don't know where you are. Could you play just a little bit? I don't know about you, but I know in my own heart and in my own life, I've spent 3 years reading, studying, praying about the subject of the Holy Spirit, because I know, even though I've been a Christian, I believe I was a Christian when I became saved at 18. Even though I was a Christian, I know one thing, I had a lot of garbage in my life. And I want more and more and more of God. I don't want to be scared of the Holy Spirit, because really the Holy Spirit is God the Father inside of me. That's all it is. And if we reduce it to those terms, if it's not this thing that religion has made it out here, that's this huge thing that we're scared to death of. Because we see the abuses, we see all that kind of stuff. If we reduce it down to the Holy Spirit is really God the Father enthroned in my heart and in my life, I tell you what, I want more of that. I'm not satisfied till the day I die. Because I want more and more and more of God in my life. And this morning, I just want to open it up for a couple of minutes. I don't know where you're at in the journey. I only know where I've been at on the journey of the Holy Spirit. I know I've been taught things in my past, in all reality, in all kindness. I'm not faulting anything, but I've been taught some things that I don't believe were true. And we need to be able to get comfortable with the Holy Spirit and get comfortable with God not being up there, that we approach and we bow down and we pray prayers and then He answers them and then we're so happy because He's answered our prayers. It's way more than that. It's God living right here inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit being here. And so I want to just invite you, wherever you're at on this journey, if you would just want to acknowledge before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to open my life up to You and to Your Holy Spirit. I want to be obedient to You in whatever ways, in greater ways. I want to follow You. I want to be passionate for You. Whatever God is speaking to your heart. As Alicia's praying, I'm just going to open up the front here again. You can stand, you can kneel, you can stand where you're at. Could you just dim a couple of these lights? just open your hearts up to the Lord and say, Lord, there's parts of me that I've held back from You. There's parts of me maybe that we've been afraid of. We've tried to have you in our lives, but we're afraid of you. And in reality, it's the push-pull thing. Lord, come into my life. But then when he speaks to us, oh no, I can't do that because I'm afraid of what someone will think. Or I'm afraid of what someone will say. Or that's not a part of my background. That's not a part of what I've been. That's not a part of what I've been taught. And let me say this, I'm not trashing any of that. That's where you need to hear me out here this morning. I'm not trashing it. What I'm saying is, so often we do the push-pull thing. Oh, Lord, come into my life, be enthroned in my life, speak to me, guide me, and lead me. And yet we say, oh, no. No, I'm not going to be open to you in this area. I'm not going to follow you in this area. You've nudged me to do this or that, and I say, oh, no, because someone might look at it wrong. Or do whatever. To be honest with you, I said this morning, I struggled with that very thing right here this morning as I saw you visitors here. Because I didn't know if you would understand. Because you don't know who we are. But will we be faithful in bringing what God has, and doing what God has laid on our hearts and what he struggled? And so, if you want to say anything to the Lord, I just invite you, right now, just come up out of your seats, stand before the Lord, and just acknowledge to him, I want more of you, I want more of you in my life.